I'm jumping out of my seat over here watching this. I think people have been thirsting for this.
And I'll just say this, you know, and I'm with Tim. I'm jumping out of my seat higher than you, my brother. I'm just going to say that.
There was a twinkle in her eye. There was a kick in her step that, you know, when you're vice president, you know, you're not loose. You can't, you know, there's somebody above you. There's somebody, you don't want to overshadow them. You want, and this was quite the coming out. And I got chills when she said, Donald Trump, I know your type. I was blown away. I was like, I kind of fell in love with her. I thought she was smart, engaging. She's funny, feisty, twinkle in your eye, punch you in the gut. I mean, everything you kind of want. I just thought it was a great, great opening act.
She looked completely comfortable tonight with the words she was speaking. They felt organic and genuine.
Well, it's a Hucktaw 2024, everybody. It's what it is. Why are you doing that? You know I'm right.
Come on.
Kane's dying right now because I'm like, you guys know that that's what it is. Let's be real. Dana Loesch with you. That's, first off, we got a lot to get into. And you can listen coast to coast. We got all that jazz for you. We're going to tell you, you know all the ways to listen. But I got to tell you, the ridiculous media campaign with her has already started. That was just some. I actually have more that I was thinking about sending the staff, but I'm like, they're going to murder me if I send them all of the. I know, like, Juan in particular would probably have a stroke and be like, enough is enough. And I didn't want to abuse him. I had, like, so many cuts of it. It was ridiculous. And I thought, is it like, overkill if, is it overkill if I play for you guys? Like, you know, I bet I had about 18, maybe almost 18 minutes of just fawning because I was trying to do girl math. And I think I pretty much had like 18 some odd minutes of just them losing their minds over her and fawning over her. And I'm like, you know, that may be too much for everybody. It may be just a little too much. So that's just one of the supercuts. Just one. That's just one of the little montages that we have that kind of get into how I told you it's going to be one of the craziest PR offensives that you have ever seen. It is going to be one of the most insane promo campaigns ever in politics. They have such a short amount of time to make this happen. And so that's what you're going to see, this huge, huge effort to really push her out there, to rehabilitate her. I mean, you've already had Clooney and everybody else come out and they've endorsed her. I was looking at some of the celebrity endorsements that she's got. Yeah, she's got a lot of, she's racking up those celebrity endorsements. You're laughing. But before we begin all of those things, can we play? Now, guys, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I hadn't even talked to Kane. Did you get the meme I sent you last night? I sent him this meme of this dude just wrapped in foil. I'm like, tis you, my friend.
Tinfoil fro.
Oh my gosh. It was totally, yeah. Before we get into all of that, I've got to, there is this weird audio, this call that she had with him yesterday. And it sounded weird. And I was sort of like asking some questions even before, I haven't even talked to Kane about it. It stuck out to me as really weird. I'm going to play two cuts for you. She was having her campaign of, like, her kickoff campaign event at her new campaign HQ. And Biden calls in to her campaign headquarters. Audio soundbite two. I want to start with this. I want you to just listen to the call. Just listen. Tell me what you think.
Let's listen.
There's so much more we're going to get done. And so I want to say hello to Kamala, if she can hear me. I know she's going to be speaking shortly. And I want to say to the team, embrace her. She's the best. I want to call today to thank everybody in this effort. I know yesterday's news was surprising, and it's hard for you to hear, but it was the right thing to do. I know it's hard because you poured your heart and soul into me to help us win this thing. Help me get this nomination. Help me win the nomination and then go on to win the presidency. But, you know, you're an amazing team, but we've got a great, I think we made the right decision. I know how hard you've worked. how many sacrifices you made. And so many of you uprooted your lives for me. And it's the weird kind of commitment few people make.
Am I weird in thinking that's weird?
No.
He had a hardcore lisp. And I'm not saying anything about lisp. He just normally doesn't have that. It's weird. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But you know what? Who could blame me? Because he drops out of the race. And we haven't seen him in 6 days. And he's speaking from the Oval Office tonight. Do you? Sure. Okay. Yeah, speaking from the Oval Office tonight. Sure. So, I don't know. He's apparently expected to go back to D.C. And I don't know.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night. It went at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the second part of this call. The first part was weird. He calls into the campaign event. And then some people were accusing her of kind of blowing it here. This is audio soundbite 3. Listen.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call. And we've been talking every day. You guys heard it from Doug's voice. We love Joe and Jill. We really do.
We just love
them.
They
truly are like family.
Weird, though, right?
And we just, everybody here.
Weird, or am I reading too much into it?
Nope.
That's what I thought. Okay, so I just want to put that on the table for you guys to kind of consider, because we're going to come back to it. You know, we're going to come back to that. I just, you know, want to keep it up there for you. Just a little bitty bit. Keep it up there for you. Now, we have this. Nobody in the media is going to ask, oh, why does he sound weird? Why does he say, nobody in the media is going to ask anything like that. Come on. So, I don't know. It's already super weird. She got the majority of delegates yesterday. Her first full day in the race, she got a cash haul. George Clooney came out and he's decided he's going to endorse her because he's just a shallow, duciplitous person who is, you know, they all knew. But now you have the media and the DNC, and this is what I noticed that was interesting. Have you noticed they're not using the photo of him with the fist and the flag anymore? Have you noticed? I think they can't campaign against it, and they're not using that photo anymore. I, in my 17 years of watching media trends and hating these people, I've noticed that they have stopped using that photo in addition to trying to rehabilitate her. It's very difficult to combat that photo. I mean, that is a great photo. It sums up literally every single thing in there. He's got people hanging on him. He's rising up from the people who are protecting him. He's got the American flag in the background. I mean, it's like a damn Renaissance painting. It's amazing. It's a great photo. What do they have? They have nothing to compete with that. Some of the headlines that we've seen, this one is hysterical. This is from The Guardian. The Guardian, British publication, is bending over backwards to aid Harris. Now, Harris, whoever. Here's they have their editorial board. Biden quitting the race is a fresh start for Democrats. So they're replacing him with the most unpopular candidate that they had in their primary, who came behind Bob the Builder from South Bend. Poot Booty Juice, right? Came behind him. No, like that, literally in the race. There's no other double entendre here. That's in the race. Was the last. Finished last. Behind Poot Booty Juice. I know. But that's the truth of it. She always had super high negatives. Democrats didn't like her. How is that a fresh start? To me, that looks like a desperate cry. That's a desperate cry. But they're trying so hard to rehabilitate her. We're going to get into some of this, what you can expect in the coming weeks. Now, also, some of the other things. Secret Service. Kimberly Cheadle resigned this morning after she faced some serious heat with House oversight yesterday. And we're going to talk to, coming up, we're going to speak with Congressman Jim Jordan about all of that, because she's stepping down now. Well, who's in charge? Because clearly you don't have the White House. I don't know if you're aware of this. Now that you have Secret Service resigning, now the White House, you have Benjamin Netanyahu, who's visiting. He is coming on behalf of a House invitation, but there were no leaders to meet him when he arrived. And apparently a meeting that he had scheduled with Biden was canceled. Biden's also canceled 9 events. He's canceled 9 events, too. So we don't know where the chief executive is. We have no idea who's running Secret Service now. We have no answers. There are a lot of, I mean, it's incredibly concerning. And then there are questions coming up as to whether or not Secret Service should be under DHS. So when you look at the umbrella of where things are placed in the hierarchy, Secret Service is under Department of Homeland Security, which seems a little weird to me. I feel like that should be something that's separate, considering you can have that so politicized. So that's something that we're going to bring up with Congressman Jim Jordan here coming up. So Kim Cheadle is out, and they had a number of House officials that were touring that area where Trump had his rally, where they, you know, the guy attempted to kill him. And one of the things that really struck me, and this is what Josh Hawley posted yesterday, Senator Hawley out of Missouri, said whistleblowers told him that law enforcement personnel were actually stationed to that same roof the day of that Trump rally, but they abandoned it because of the heat. And they say that law enforcement was supposed to be patrolling the building, but they opted to stay inside instead. That is what he had said. He goes, when did they abandon the post? Which law enforcement units were assigned to the roof? Did any law enforcement personnel fail to report to their assigned stations that day? Nobody has any answers. We had a whole hearing on this yesterday and we had no answers. No answers at all for this. So this is unbelievable. I mean, you can't be in the roof on the rooftop because of heat. They wanted to be inside with the AC, the building. That's crazy, craziness. So we're going to get into some of that as well. But Kim Cheadle is out. She has resigned her after she said she wasn't going to resign. She resigned her position. But I think that the fact that she faced so much heat, I think she kind of saw the writing on the wall with that. I really do. So we've got all of that to get into. We're also going to get into coming up the end of the Democrat Party as you know it. The Democrat Party, now that Joe Biden has stepped down, is now officially changed. It is no longer the Democrat Party. Any last remnants of it being any kind of Kennedy-esque party or even a Clinton party are gone. And we're going to explain coming up. We also have all of the latest with Democrats, Biden speaking from the Oval Office tonight, the media offensive, all of that and so much more as we roll towards headlines and get you set up with some of the other news for the day. Those good folks who help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at Gold Coat. They want to make sure that everything that you've worked so hard to accrue over your lifetime, that it is protected. I mean, guys, we're paying $7 for a dozen eggs. It's crazy. These are unprecedented times. Inflation is out of control. And November is not guaranteed, which we're going to talk about more coming up. So this is why you should do what I do and decide to diversify and protect your savings with the top-rated company, Gold Co. Join the thousands of people who've called Gold Co. the number one rated gold company. Diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. And you can do this at DanaLikesGold.com. They'll give you a complimentary wealth protection kit. It's going to give you all of the information you would need about precious metals. They've got thousands of five-star reviews at Gold Co. and a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they are all about information first. You get a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains the economy and how gold IRAs work. So no pressure. Give them a call today or visit DanaLikesGold.com and learn how you can get started. You'll also get that complimentary wealth protection kit. It's going to give you all the information you need about precious metals. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is disgusting. Fecal fears pile up in Los Angeles as their hiking mecca has reopened without half of its bathrooms. Yeah, so of course they bury the lead because it's San Francisco Gate and they hire people that don't know how to write a single damn story, never heard of the pyramid, nothing like that. So they get literally like seven paragraphs in before they tell you that the hiking path that's around the San Gabriel Mountains, there's only seven toilets around it, and apparently people don't know how to use the bathrooms because they're no better than the wild animals that they share the hiking trail with. I fail to see how this is my concern or anyone else's concern, so blank these people. Moving on. This is a much more interesting story. So not only, it was just recently Shark Week, right? So now we've got sharks and cocaine. Don't be getting in the water around the coast of Brazil because all the sharks are positive for cocaine. Apparently, scientists carrying out a study for the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation tested a bunch of these Brazilian sharp-nosed sharks that were taken from the Atlantic Ocean near Rio. And they found that all of them have super high levels of cocaine in their muscle and liver. And they now fear it could reduce their life expectancy, damage their eyesight, and affect their hunting skills. So, but really though, they said that it's drainage from illicit labs where the cocaine is manufactured. And the excrement of drug users being flushed into the waters via untreated sewage. That's disgusting. So all the sharks near Brazil are high as a kite on cocaine. Hunter Biden, next headline, immediately goes to the coastal waters of Brazil.
I need a pet shark.
For a vacation and to swim with the sharks. There you go. Nina Jankowicz, you remember that girl? Didn't she ask to come on the show and then she realized who we were and
PR
was like, what?
Yeah, her PR team accidentally sent me.
Oh, they said it was an accident?
Yeah.
Yeah, so her team had reached out to us. They were seeking an interview and we're like, okay. And then she was like, no. So a judge dismissed her lawsuit against Fox News. A Delaware judge tossed her lawsuit. This was granted on Monday, the case dismissed. They said, because she was saying that the statements about her were defamatory. People were making fun of her being like a musical weirdo. And it was all true. It was all completely true. So that was dismissed. Apparently, Earth is going to get hit with radio blackouts this week. NASA captured dark plasma eruptions from the sun. Can I just say, and this is so total, have you noticed the light outside is real weird lately, Kane?
I have noticed that.
Actually. See? What? I'm telling you, I've noticed it, and it's made me feel weird. It makes me feel weird, and it's made me suspicious.
Welcome.
Shut up. I'm not all the way that bad, but welcome, I'm like Hannah. 80% there right now.
His arms are open, so I'm saying.
It was just weird. It's weird. The light's it was like diffused. Imagine the light before an eclipse, and it's been like that outside of where we live for 2 days now. Creepy. It makes me feel weird when I go outside. I don't know. I feel like I just want to go and count on my ReadyWise food again. And now Hunter Biden's trial, the tax charge trial, that's been given a new start date. It was going to start. It's going to start September 9th in California. So there you go. Stick with us. More in store. Our partners, they help bring you free radio. Good folks over at Hillsdale College. Like, they actually educate people over there. So if you got a kid, you know, like going in their senior year, maybe, you know, think of Hillsdale. It's a great educational institution. They do a lot. You don't have to be on their campus in Southern Michigan. They're a small Christian classical liberal arts college founded in 1844, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. But they do a lot of stuff that is all about informing everyone else at large. Like, for instance, you can watch this really awesome, I've seen it, this portrayal of Thomas Jefferson. And if you love history, you're going to love this. It's a deep dive into Thomas Jefferson's life later in life as he reflects on what the meaning of the Declaration of Independence in a letter that he was writing to colleagues. And you can view this at Dana4HillsDale.com to see this really awesome video for free. And you can get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration of Independence as well. So visit Dana4HillsDale.com. View this video. It's a really insightful deep dive in, like I said, into Thomas Jefferson. He's at the end of his life and he's reflecting back on the creation of the Declaration of Independence and what it means in a letter that he's writing to friends. And it's really a very cool examination of this. And you can watch it for free. Get your commemorative copy of the Declaration as well to keep or pass on to someone you know. Limited time offer, though, so don't delay. Dana4Hillsdale.com.
Weird how no one's going after CrowdStrike after their transportation meltdown. While Pete goes after airlines like Delta, no one's saying a word about CrowdStrike. Remember when CrowdStrike also said Hillary's server was hacked by Russians?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Kristen, we saw the MAGA team launch their first attack ad against Vice President Harris. Here's a clip.
Kamala knew Joe couldn't do the job, so she did it. Look what she got done. A border invasion, runaway inflation, the American dream dead. They created this mess. They, no, Kamala owns this failed record.
Yeah, I get it.
So it's interesting because they're kind of suggesting that she was like some sort of puppet master.
Yeah, I think that this is their attempt, as I said earlier, to try to link her to the Biden administration and say those policies are actually her policies.
Well, she's the vice president. That's
right,
fair.
Which it's not an unfair link.
So they're trying to soft defend her and say, well, you know, like she wasn't aware of all of this stuff. I mean, that's they're going so far in on defending her. It's already, I told you it was going to be unlike anything you've ever seen, and I'm not wrong. They're acting as though, well, she was completely unaware of his cognitive decline, and it's mean to suggest that. I don't know why that's mean to suggest it. I mean, everybody's seen it, right? I mean, everybody's seen, I don't think it's, I mean, you've seen it. And she was there. She's, how can you say that she's, you can't simultaneously make the argument that she was present as vice president for every single thing and then turn around and say that she was so far removed from the situation that she has no awareness of any cognitive decline. You can't claim that she was very involved as a platform on which she can springboard off of into the presidency and then also say that she had no idea what was going on. Both of those narratives don't work together. It has to be one or the other. And I think she knew that call. This was audio sound. Oh, shoot. Where was it? Audio soundbite 3. Sorry, but this is weird. Can you hit this one more time, Juan? Thank you.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call.
On the recall.
And
I know you're still on
day.
The recall. That's how. On the recording? Okay, so I hear this. And I think, is this staged? This is what some of the people on the Webernets are saying. They're saying that it was an entirely staged call and that she almost messed it all up. They said it was just real weird and she almost gave the whole thing away. It was very weird and it sounds crazy. And I mean, it has been, you know, we haven't seen him in 6 days. We're supposed to see him tomorrow night. So still, it's weird. And he hasn't addressed the nation. He hasn't addressed any, not even Democrat voters since that time. So it's just really odd. So I, you know, I'm looking at this. And that was just, it's on the call. You can't say that she doesn't know. She knows. She clearly knows. So those two lines of defense, those two narratives together don't work. They don't work. But this media offensive ongoing. They had the way that she's being discussed. Also, in MSNBC, they said, oh, well, you know, Trump's age is now a problem. Oh, all of a sudden, now Trump's age is a problem. Remember, it's never been an issue of age. It's been an issue of cognitive ability. They do this to Republicans all the time. They did this to Reagan so bad. Oh, no. Now they said he showed serious signs of lacking the capacity. Now, this is just tit for tat idiocy. I mean, Joe Biden clearly struggles. He thinks dead people are talking to him. He clearly struggles. So now your line of attack is, well, we're going to say the same thing about your guy. That's just cringe. Stop it. That's just so stupid. That's not going to work. But that's what they're going to. They're saying The Atlantic. This is an actual headline from The Atlantic. Suddenly Trump looks older and more deranged. And then they showed a picture of him with a bandage on his ear. Because none of them, as I said, are showing the photo of him with his fist in the air after he was shot. They're going to downplay that into nothingness. They're going to downplay it into nothing. Don't let them do it. Do not let them do it. And they're going to do all the DEI stuff. I don't think that Republicans need to get into an argument of DEI, frankly, over Kamala Harris. I really don't. I think if you just look at her record and you look at her policies, was she a DEI hire? Hell yes. Did she get her start by sleeping her way to where she is? Hell yes, she did. I'm not the person who's saying that. The Associated Press literally has an article out today where they admit that her very first position was under Willie Brown. And I don't mean, you know, horizontally. I mean, like her vertical professional position. Yes, the horizontal part, too. But that was the Associated Press saying that. Kane, you're like dead. His eyes got so big. But still, it's true. So they don't need to get into the DEI. Because her policies are horrific. And if they go into DEI, how do you explain this? Her great, 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 great grandfather was apparently a notorious Irish slave owner who bought a Jamaican plantation and fought abolition. Now, how does that work out, box checking, Kane?
That's a good question.
I mean, she comes from slave owners.
Yeah.
That's a little problematic, you know, when it concerns DEI box checking, right?
I mean, the rules, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't. But it's just a little weird, right? That's, I don't know how they're going to handle that. But her record by itself was just, I mean, you don't even have to look at her record. You can just go back to the 2020 campaign. It was an absolute disaster. She could not get past trying to play to identity politics. She couldn't talk about the economy. She couldn't talk about any of this stuff. She had a horrific record on any kind of justice reform in California. I mean, she's bad on energy. She's bad on taxation. She's horrific on Israel. Here's another thing, too. The first thing that she did as the presumptive Democrat nominee for president is she's refused to meet, apparently, with the Israeli prime minister. Now, Joe Biden, they're trying to say, oh, no, it's because he's almost healthy. His COVID symptoms have almost resolved completely. He's going to be completely better the moment Netanyahu leaves. So they're saying, well, Biden isn't well, so he can't meet Netanyahu. But he could go out, you know, the day before he announced he had fake COVID. He could go out and meet everybody, because I don't believe he has COVID at all whatsoever. I think he's hiding because they were planning this and he wanted to avoid the heat. And they decided to evoke COVID because that's the only excuse that's going to make his base happy. That's the God to which they pray. COVID. Good grief. But they need Michigan. And Michigan, the capital of Michigan, is Dearbornistan. So they have to win Michigan. She can't make those voters angry, the Illinois Mars segment of the Democrat Party. So now it's the end of the Democrat Party as you know it. It really is. It is entirely different from what you know the party to be. It is the end of the Common Man Party. It is the end of the Working Man Party in favor of taxpayer-funded transgender surgery paid for by the common man. I mean, that's it. The whole Truman Democrat, Kennedy Democrat is dead. And Joe Biden stepping down is the mark of the end of that era. It is a brand new party. Their policies now are Californian progressivism. That is what the Democrat Party is now. Needles and feces, Huck Taw, 2024. That's the party. Everything on trans issues, abortion on demand, funded by the taxpayer, which I don't care where you stand on that issue. That is exactly what that party landed on, because all their senators just 2 years ago, or sorry, 3 years ago, signed on to that bill in the Senate where they were demanding literally up till the moment of birth, funded by the taxpayer. Oh, and they try to call it the Women's Protection Act. I read the bill. That's what they try to call it. And that's exactly what it allowed for. Your money funding it as a form of birth control, literally up until the moment of birth. That is not an exaggeration. In fact, I am underserving the seriousness to which you would have been tethered with that bill. So it's the identity politic party. I read this piece, I think it was a Daily Mail or Spiked. Harris's career was made possible by both traditional femininity, most evident in her career-boosting affair with a much older man, former California State Assembly Speaker Willie Brown, and her identification with feminist causes. That is the real kicker in all of this, because isn't that something that the leftist ideology rejects? But yet, look at all of the people who have gained positions of power within their party. They played those identity politic cards to which they now reject. Why? They play right into it. It is the oddest thing that I've ever seen. But this is a party that's based more on your identity, things that you cannot control, and not your merit. It is a party that is based on your identity, things that you cannot control, how you were born, to whom you were born, where you were born, what you look like, things you cannot control, as opposed to your desire for freedom, which is why they always want to supplant that melting pot which they've insisted now is an offensive term because it destroys their narrative of unity. That's why they want to eradicate that in terms of the single identifier for American existence. I think it was Reagan that was who had said, you know, you can't go to France and be French, and you can't go to Italy and be Italian, and you can't go to Spain and be Spanish, but you can come to the United States and you can be American. So that desire to be free, that animating spirit of liberty, was the single most, that was the commonality. That is what the critical race theory, which is a subset of Marxism, CRT, which DEI is part of, that diversity, exclusion of, that is all about destroying that number one identity, that commonality, the desire to be free, and replacing it with a bunch of divided little box checking. That's exactly the purpose of it, was to keep everyone divided and to keep everyone not focused on wanting to be free, but on what color the grass is on the other side of the fence. That's exactly what they want to focus on. And that's the party. That is their policy right now. That's the Democrat Party. It's a Democrat Party that rejects our allies, our only ally in the Middle East, because people don't understand the difference between, you know, criticizing government policy over there and criticizing all of the Jewish people, which is, you know, what the left is engaging in more and more, particularly with their backing of Hamas. I mean, hell, neither Harris nor Biden are meeting with Netanyahu. No major Democrat leader is meeting with Netanyahu. He's here right now. They're not meeting with him. Kamala Harris, this was her first thing as a presumptive nominee, and she refused to do it because they don't want to make Dearborn a stand mad. They would rather give in to the screeches of the Hamas wing of their party. They would rather give in to the wing of the trans advocacy of their party, the women eliminating advocacy of their party. That's what they want to give in to. That is who the new Democrat Party is. The Democrat Party, as you knew it, is dead. It is never coming back. It is dead. And this is what's in its place now. And Harris is their first nominee. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. So I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason.
Yeah,
the reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead. Killed by the woke mind virus.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's just awful. I was Jordan Peterson sit down with Elon Musk, and I saw that yesterday evening, and that was heartbreaking. And Musk had said that it was that his son had been brainwashed by his very expensive, like, private school and then going into college, because his son's like, what, in his 20s now? And that he's a communist and he hates rich people. He dropped his son, dropped his last name, changed his name to a girl's name, took his mom's maiden name. And I don't want to bash like someone's ex-wife or, you know, get involved in the dynamics of whatever their relationship is or isn't. But I just think that that's really abusive parenting when you are allowing your child and encouraging this very false perception that is not just dress up, it is altering without any base, no medical knowledge, no studies. There are zero, and I'm not exaggerating, zero long-term studies on what just superdosing with hormones like this do to people, what that looks like in later years. The closest thing that they have to it is like older women who have gone through menopause and have gone on hormones. That's all they have to go on. And it's been dangerous for them. And that's the, like the closest thing that they have, or like bodybuilders with, you know, testosterone and stuff. That's like all they have to go on. And to encourage someone starting when they are a juvenile and they are not even grown all the way, and boys take longer to grow than girls, I mean, they're still growing by the time girls stop, is, it's just abusive. And I, for, what is the purpose? The claims are you're trying to make your child happy, but what if your child wanted to smoke crack? It makes the child happy, so are you a bad parent because you're intervening and stopping them from doing something that causes irreparable damage? I mean, that's the question here. Like, the only other way to be happy is to try to artificially make your reality a cheap imitation of what you believe it to be in terms of fantasy. And it hurts. It's just devastating. You have to be on medication for forever. Forever. And then you have to be on medication for the side effects that that medication causes. I don't know if you've read some of the stories of people who've detransitioned. Even after they've detransitioned, they still have to be on medication for life now. And they're dealing with a whole host of issues. I mean, you want to have, you know, turbo cancer. Everyone talks about turbo cancer from the clot shot. What do you think is going to happen with this? We got a whole bunch more on the way. It's just so sad. It's heartbreaking. Second hour coming up. The media's PR offensive on behalf of Kamala Harris. We got that and more. Our partners that help bring you free radio, ReadyWise. You want to always be ready so that if, heaven forbid, something goes sideways, you don't have to worry about how you're going to eat or what you're going to feed your family, because heaven forbid you have to go to the grocery store where there's going to be nothing on the shelves. You guys know this. There's literally nothing on the shelves except for health food. Like, nobody wants to eat the oatmeal bars. Nobody cares. Nobody wants the rice cakes. No, nobody wants that. So ReadyWise gives you peace of mind. In addition to giving you premium survival food made of U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant from which they send it. And they got free and fast shipping on most orders, ensuring that your provisions reach you promptly. They got a 72-hour food kit right now, and that includes 2 boxes, 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food, and it has 11,120 total calories in each kit, because that's what your body going to need to run on for survival. Heaven forbid, if natural disaster or political ones make things go sideways and times get tough, you can visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout, because that gets you 20% off of any regularly priced item. And all their food, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life, U.S. ingredients, U.S. plant. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
I mean, you know, he's the first president since 1968 to step down. I think it shows what a statesman he is. Mm-hmm. I think it shows what a patriot he is. I think that he can put his country before his ego, because he had such a great record as president. I think that history will note him as one of the greatest presidents that we've had.
I mean, I can't even listen to all of this. It's like, I cannot listen to that level of fakery. I mean, that's what they're, the stuff that she's saying is ridiculous. That's what's her face. So from The View, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. Watch the simulcast. If he was such a great statesman, why did he wait to like Ruth Bader Ginsburg levels of time before dropping out? I mean, he drops out after all other potential possibilities of switching out the ticket seamlessly, all of those deadlines had passed. I mean, if he's such a statesman, why did he wait that long? If he's such a statesman, you know, if he's a guy that puts ego last, why did he wait until literally the last minute to do anything? And actually, I would say that minute has passed. because of all the deadlines. I mean, she can't get her money on any, her hands on any of his PAC money. She only gets the Biden-Harris stuff. She's, you know, they've got to work hard at making sure, because you can secure all the delegates you want, but you got to make sure you got the super delegates as well. It's still going to be, you're still essentially going into kind of an open convention, technically. And none of the voters had voted for her. How is it statesman to undo and just throw out all of your voters, the votes that they cast in primaries and caucuses around the country? That's what Biden is doing. Democrats picked him and in the primary, they voted for him, and he's just doesn't care. He's just jettisoning that out of the window. He didn't care. But I don't know. It's pretty amazing that these are the people that always go on and on about democracy and everything else, but yet they're not participating in it with their own voters. We talked about that yesterday. It is the end of the Democrat Party, as you know. It's a weird situation, a very weird situation. And you have them, they're all, you know, they're voting. She's got the most of the delegates at this point now. Biden speaking from the Oval Office tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And I don't know. Kane points that makes a good point. The New York Times on July 12th. They wrote, quote, "For years, far-right commentators have floated a conspiracy theory that Democrat Party elites were secretly plotting to replace Biden on the ticket. And now those conspiracists are using the moment to lend credibility to their work." Fast forward to the 22nd. Many elected Democrats announced their support for Vice President Kamala Harris to lead the ticket. Hours after Biden stepped out of the race. That's exactly what they did. It's those people it's the Democrat Party elites. That's exactly who it is. Democrat Party elites. Oh boy, telling you what, this is something else. We're gonna see how all this goes. What happened in Vegas?
That's a loaded question.
Vegas, when Biden was there, he had that one event where he was out touching everybody, and then literally the next day they're like, "Oh, he's got COVID." Jordan Satchel was saying that something was happening there. He said he delivered the keynote address at the NAACP. It was at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. He looked horrible. He looked angry and horrible. And he was going to deliver a keynote at the MGM Grand on that Wednesday, and he did not appear. And in fact, he didn't go to the scheduled keynote that he was going to give on Wednesday, and that was with Unidos, their annual convention at the MGM Grand. He didn't go there, and instead he went for his Delaware beach house, and he has stayed there. He had several events later. I'm looking at this. He gave his speech that was on what, Tuesday. Wednesday, he canceled that address and all the other events that evening, went to his Delaware beach house, and he's still there. And then he announces on social media he's not running for president. He's backing Harris. No one has seen a photo of him. No one has seen a video of him. He apparently participated on a telephone call, although it sounded weird. And then they said, oh, no, he had to change everything because he got COVID. Really? Oh, yeah, he's got COVID. That's it. Just cold-like symptoms. But then we had the audio that we played the other day where his brother, Jim, had given a quote to the press where he said, you know, with the time that we have left, you know, like he made it sound like Biden was on death's door. It was very weird. Now, people are trying to, there's some rumors going around that, you know, maybe it was a medical emergency, something like that. There's been a lot of back and forth on social media about this because he was all, I don't know. It's kind of, it's who do you believe? This is why you got to be very careful when you're on the right too with bad information. Apparently though, some of the police that were working as local law enforcement for his trip out to Vegas were saying that it was already chaotic and that he was already very, very behind schedule that day. And he was at, when he was at the Mexican restaurant, that's where the video is from, where he's walking around shaking everybody's hands. That's they said that he was already behind schedule when he was doing that. And then he was supposed to head out and then deliver that speech, and it was all canceled. And they said the story that Satchel says, that law enforcement officers on duty were informed over the radio that he was dealing with an unspecified medical situation, which sounds a little bit more than just COVID. Some say that it was easily hundreds of Las Vegas metropolitan officers and employees who heard those that radio conversation live. And they said that the dispatches suggested that this was more than just a change of plans and that it was something a little more serious. And they said that they were coordinating with the president's detail. The radio dispatchers responsible for that had demanded a surge of law enforcement resources into the area to secure the vicinity and expedite his movement. And his motorcade initially was planning on heading to UMC, University Medical Center, and then they said that they were rerouting. It was weird. There was a local NBC affiliate, and this is the story that they had. I'm pulling this up. I'm going to drop this in Slack for the crew too. This was the story that they had. They were saying Las Vegas Hospital on standby to treat President Biden during COVID-19 diagnosis. They said that they were already on standby. They were alerted about a possible medical issue with Biden on Wednesday afternoon when he was visiting Southern Nevada. The story from News 3 Las Vegas said law enforcement and medical teams gathered outside of the University Medical Center trauma room in Wellness Way in the event that he arrived after he canceled an appearance at the Unidos Convention in Vegas after testing positive for COVID. They said that the CEO of Unidos had made the announcement to the convention goers there that he was not going to be speaking. Now, they said he did not seek medical treatment at the hospital, but instead went to the airport and departed Vegas on Air Force One to self-isolate at his home in Delaware. They said the hospital was alerted about 2:15 about a potential medical issue with the president. They didn't have any other details, etc. It's very weird. They said that they were in contact with, I guess, Biden's team. You know, the security officials that he had that were expediting his movement. Very weird. And then they didn't bring him to the hospital. And then apparently the plans changed again. Then they had to have a clear way, Satchel notes, to get to the Harry Reid International Airport. And then the police assigned the president's detail and the emergency in the box squads. They had to redeploy all their resources to expedite that. Now, one of the senior White House correspondents for the Daily Mail, Emily Gooden, via this report over at Dossier Today, had said that Air Force One, quote, flew so fast that the plane shook and arrived in Dover in just 3 hours and 48 minutes. That's a pretty quick flight. And that's when he was seen. When it returned in Dover, she is the one that has the videos. And Juan showed you those videos before. Those are the videos where he's standing on the steps of the plane and he stops because he's almost evaluating whether or not he can get down. And he looks really bad, really bad. And he has a guy behind him. And it's just really weird. Now, I don't know. Maybe the plane shook because there was turbulence. I don't know. But there are a lot of questions from this. The officers that were speaking to the press said that the way that the security around Biden was reacting was that it was like a major medical emergency. And that seems to betray the stated basic COVID light cold symptoms that they said that he had. I mean, that's weird, right? It's weird. And he looked very unsteady when he was getting off of that plane. So I don't know. I mean, there's some really interesting questions surrounding this. And it doesn't help that we haven't seen him. Not even a photograph. Haven't seen him on video. Haven't anything. And you know, tonight is going to be a pre-taped thing. It's not going to be a live address. Kane, this is not going to be a live address. Not tonight. Sorry, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's address is not going to be live.
They'll make it look like it is, though.
But it's not going to be live. It's weird. And then he calls into Kamala's event. He doesn't. I mean, I know that they have the video technology. You know, if Joe Biden needs help with video, maybe he can ask Hunter. Hunter's really good at recording stuff and putting it online. Right? I mean, he couldn't even do like a video appearance. It's just weird. And you can't blame people for asking these questions because it's weird. I mean, you can't create a sketchy situation and get mad when people are like, that's sketch. You can't get mad at him for that. Goodness, we have more on the way. Do you ever ask yourself how you can work this hard and still be in debt? I mean, the piles of overdue bills, the threatening phone calls, the constant stress of wondering how you're going to make ends meet each month, it just won't stop. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. They've developed aggressive new strategies to end your debt permanently. Zero Debt USA stands between you and the bill collectors. They negotiate with creditors to lower or even forgive what you owe, and they do it all without bankruptcy or new loans. The bottom line is Zero Debt USA has powerful strategies that zap your debt quickly, so you have more money in your pocket every month. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive and you don't want to miss out. Visit zapmydebt.com and talk with one of their debt relief strategists for free and find out how fast they can get you out of debt. If you're trapped in debt, Zero Debt USA is the way out. Visit zapmydebt.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't know why they headlined it like this. So they said Mattel is introducing two of their inclusive whatever Barbie dolls, a blind Barbie and a black Barbie with Down syndrome. I can't tell. It doesn't make any sense. It's just a doll. They're just Barbies. They just look like Barbies. Why do you have to be like, well, this Barbie, because one of them has a walking stick and it's supposed to be a blind Barbie and you can't tell because her. I don't know. I literally don't even know.
What fun that toy would be.
Well, I just don't know why. I am at a loss. I think we're going to have to come back to this one. Because the one that is the black Barbie with Down syndrome, again. Okay.
Stop,
we're going to come.
Exclusive.
Juan's getting the picture ready because the one that has the lighter colored hair is supposed to be the blind Barbie. And it's not the, I can't.
She's got nice eyes for blind.
Well, and the glasses Barbie on her head are supposed to be like high functioning glasses that help her see. I don't know, but I just, guys, come on. It's weird. Like to, I don't know. We're going to save that one. We're going to save this one because we got to come back to it. The other one just looks like, I don't know. I don't know why. Becoming harder to get and keep a car. Repos are on the rise, apparently. And of course, here we got another CNN story where they buried the lead literally 10 graphs in. Fewer people are applying for credit and an increasing share are being rejected. And the credit card application rate has slipped to 41% from 41 in June. It was 43 in February.
And delinquencies are up.
Delinquencies are up. The overall rejection rate's up from 22% from 19%. And it's all across. It's not one age group over another. It is all age groups that this is. Yeah. Thanks, Biden. Biden Harris. Woo! The salary you have to be middle class in San Francisco. You have to make over $250,000 a year to be considered middle class in San Francisco.
Good God.
Why would... That's insane. What is an extreme eater? That... Can I be honest? When I first hear about that, I'm like, fat? You know, I don't know. This is the first thing I thought of. An extreme eater died. An extreme eater, 24 years old, died after a live stream, after a 10-hour food binge. Pan Joting's abdomen was full of undigested food. That's disgusting. It is disgusting. Stop doing stupid stuff like this for clicks, people. Quit doing it. Quit it. We got a lot more on the way, including we got some culture, the latest with polling as well. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
So now that the process has played out, from the grassroots bottom up, we are here today to throw our support behind Vice President Kamala Harris. I'm clapping. You don't have to.
Please clap. It's a Jeb Bush moment right there. It's Chucky Schumer. He's super. Yeah, don't you just feel the excitement?
Oh, yeah.
It's Kamala Harris.
So organic.
Yay. Look, this is how excited we as Democrats are.
Feels authentic.
I think Biden's AI has more energy than that. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this second hour, and we've got coming up later, Jim Jordan's going to be joining us. I'm telling you, what were you telling me? Joy Reid or whatever locked her account?
Yeah, I saw that Joyanne Reid. Joyless Reid, the MSNBC pundit.
Yeah, well, maybe it's because she warned black voters that they're going to look weird and lonely if they don't back the black woman in November. I think she started getting some pushback on that. That's probably why. She needs to put that simple jack hair back on. I'm telling you what. I think that Democrats are baiting Republicans to try to make this about DEI because it's all they have left. Yep. They are desperately trying to. Now, was she a DEI hire? Yes, she was. Did she get started as Willie Brown's lover? Yes, she did. Don't get mad at me for saying this. I am just the messenger. I am the lowly messenger for the Associated Press piece that came out yesterday evening that literally had that in its first graph. Not making it up. That's how it went. So, you know, we're not, these aren't untruths here. None of these are untruths. I mean, that's how she got started. But they really want to make this about DEI, and they really are going to try to make this about race and everything else. And they keep going. I think it would be dumb for Republicans to take that bait. I don't think they need to not take that bait. Because if you make it all about policy, what does she have? I mean, she has absolutely nothing. And it's, her policies are so weak. Even the AFL-CIO, that's the largest labor organization. They got 60 affiliate unions, 12.5 million members. They issued a statement, and they spoke of her in like very nice terms, but they said they're in the middle of their endorsement process. They're keeping their powder dry. Kind of interesting. Keeping their powder dry there. I thought that the fact that people didn't just rush to her tells you everything that you need to know. But her record on the economy, she supports race-based reparations wholeheartedly. She is all about she actually, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, because when you thought nobody could spend more money than Obama Biden, here comes Kamala Harris, who definitely can spend more money than Obama Biden. And she's a huge supporter, more so in favor of loan bailouts than Joe Biden was. She's, I mean, it's because Biden initially, and I'm going to pull this story up. In the very beginning, he was, he said it was unthinkable previously. This was back on June 30th, 2023. He was discussing the student loan cancellation during a 2021 CNN town hall. And he had said, I don't think I have the authority to do it by signing with a pen. And then in 23, he goes, well, you know, the fight's not over, etc. He actually had doubts about his ability to do it. Harris doesn't care. She doesn't care if there's any kind of judicial limitations on what she can or can't do with regards to any of that. She's a big supporter of the predatory graduate school program. She's a big, I mean, this is all stuff that she's, you know, very much in support of. She is more likely to do better in the general election than Biden is. Biden is unpopular. Democrats perform better on the generic congressional ballot than Biden does. And this is from a couple of things. Liberty Unyielding has a post on this, and you can go and look at some of the stuff at RCP and Cook. And that's the fact that they were performing that down ballot races. Democrats in down ballot races were scoring or polling higher than Biden was very significant. I just, my point in telling you all of this, when you look at her record, which is very far left, and she's, you know, younger than Trump, I guess, you know, the media is going to try to make that a big thing. This is not a done deal yet. There was a new Quinnipiac poll out today, and I can't even believe that it's, you know, I'm still waiting, you know, for some of the this other stuff to kick in. Let me pull this poll up. There was a new Quinnipiac poll out, and I believe it showed 49 to 47 Trump over Harris. That, to me, is way too damn close, right? We haven't even started seeing, like, some of the aggregate polling for both of them. But this Quinnipiac that came out, there's a morning consult that has Trump 47, Harris 45. Trump is plus two. Biden's job approval, I don't know how that's like factoring in with how it's weighing on her. But there was a Quinnipiac poll that had 49, 47, Trump over Harris. This is well within the margin of error. I want you guys to know this. Margin of error is usually like 2.5, 3 points. So this is not a done deal. It's asinine to me that it's even this close. Now, I haven't looked at some of the crosstabs for either of these. That's my assignment for tonight, as I'm going to be diving into all of that. But the Quinnipiac poll, there's also a general election one. It's a Forbes poll. It's Trump 43, Harris 47. In Georgia, shows one of the biggest spreads, and that's Trump 51, Harris 46. So Trump is plus five in that. I will say the Forbes poll, he's plus six, plus five in the Georgia one. So that's, you know, a pretty significant spread there. But to me, that's way too close. Are you kidding me? That is so damn close to be at this point. He survived an assassination attempt. They switched out on the Democrat side their nominee here in the 11th hour. I mean, not even the 11th hour, like 12th hour. The hours passed. They switched out their candidate, and we're still in most of these polls within margin of error. My point in telling you this is that you cannot underestimate the fervor of Marxists. You cannot think that November is done and in the bag. And if you think, well, why do we still have to keep doing this? Isn't it obvious? Welcome to America. I mean, good grief. Go back during the colonist times when you had the committees of correspondence and Paul Revere, and they were meeting in Liberty Street, and it was a few people. The patriots were the minority. That's what we have going in our favor is that we have more registered Republicans than they have Democrats. Our problem is our side doesn't show up. So you can't assume that it's a done deal. And the colonists had a hell of a time convincing people. I mean, seriously, you don't want to quarter soldiers in your home, and you don't want to pay taxes without any kind of representation for God. I mean, the colonists had to bend over backwards to try to persuade people in their time of how that was a bad thing. Maybe you shouldn't have that. Right? It's never easy. It's never a cakewalk. It's never been like that in the history of any government, particularly here in this republic. So be happy that you have the freedom and the privilege of being able to go out and affect change like this. But I agree, it's troubling that it's this close still. November is not guaranteed. And like I said, too, last hour, this is a brand new Democrat Party. A brand new Democrat Party. A lot of this is going to be come down to the margins. And I've told you before, elections are determined in the margins. The independent voters who don't like Kamala. She is going to get a brief benefit of people not being as familiar with her policies and where she stands as they are with Biden's. But that's not going to last. It's not going to last very long. We're going to talk more about this coming up. We're going to have Congressman Jim Jordan on in our third hour for this latest with, you have Kim Cheadle who has resigned. And it is amazing some of the stuff that came out of that hearing yesterday. It is unbelievable. And one of those things that came out, I mean, well, they were talking about the assignments on the rooftop. It was the heat. You know, it was the heat that was a part of it. I have to play audio soundbite 23. Some of the Democrats' line of questioning was asinine. This is Democrat Representative Crockett, Rep. Crockett, saying that it was a lack of bias training at Secret Service. That's why they could not label this guy as a threat, this young white male. Listen to this.
As a civil rights lawyer, I have learned so many times in having to deal with law enforcement that there usually is not a perception of a threat when it is a young white male, even if they are carrying a long gun. Yet a lot of times, at least in this country, when it comes to law enforcement, there is a perceived threat
nonsense.
Just by somebody having a little bit more melanin in their skin. So I'm curious.
That's Jasmine Crockett. Can I be honest? If I'm at a political event and I see a younger white dude looking at the rooftop and being all sketchy, I am actually going to be more suspicious of that dude than a black dude looking at the rooftop. Why? Because statistics. Okay? If we're talking about gangbanging, all right then. Maybe I would look at the black guy more than the white guy. If we're talking about being a psycho sniper, just saying. Right, Kane? Statistics. I'm looking at statistics. That's what informs the mitigation of crime. Just saying.
And the statistics lately show transgenders are getting quite violent.
So isn't that this? There's a lot of questions about whether that dude was trans. Yeah. Was trans,
I
right?
Saw that too.
Can you still say tranny? Is tranny a word still?
Too late. I mean, you just said it.
Well, no. I'm just like, I haven't heard the word tranny in a long time.
It has been a while.
Because that's always been for transvestite. Transgenders, this is totally different.
Or actual car repair.
But yeah. I don't know why this part. So is tranny just for transvestite now?
No.
Or transmission?
I'm not.
Check the tranny.
I have no clue.
Oh, just, you know, it's the little things that interest me. The little things that interest me. Oh, my goodness. All right. So anyway. All right. So we got a lot on the way. I'm not going to have any photos yet. But we are in possession of a pup. I'm not going to tell you anything about it yet. I'm going to, because you got to see the photos. He's super adorable. And we talked about this yesterday, how we were going. I was going to, we went to an animal shelter yesterday. And I've looked online at tons of shelters. And I've looked at all these different dogs. And I've done, I have a benefit of coming from a family, marrying into a family that is very familiar with like champion dog breeding and, you know, like ethical breeding and all of that. And they are huge dog people. So I have to say there was a white pitty that was there that I really wanted to take home. But it was also 7 years old. And at that age, it had some like, you know, I don't know. It would have been a lot to, I think, train and acclimate. And I know my limitations. Beautiful dog. But we did find. And it is a large dog. It's going to be a large dog. So right now we're doing one. Maybe we'll have two here coming up. But I think kind of the unmentioned trade-off was because I wasn't having a small one. I can't have two large, you know, horses basically in the house right now. So I'll tell you more about it. But Kane, when I was there and I was going around, I did feel like Simon Cowell.
Did you?
I did. And I was trying to not be a jackwagon as much as possible.
What did the dogs think of me?
Well, I know. And this one old lady dog that had been there, and this I felt so bad for. She was 8 years old. She was a boxer and super sweet. And she had been returned twice because she doesn't apparently get along with animal or people. animals are people. And they said she's not at all a snuggler. She doesn't want to be by you. She just wants to sit on her bed and be alone. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like, so you need someone that has a lot of patience to deal with her. But, oh man, I'm telling you what. She was super, super sweet. But there were a lot of dogs there. And there was a Chihuahua. Kane has issues with Chihuahuas.
No, you said
there were some Chihuahuas. You don't look at them like old people. Like old people aren't innocent, is what you always say. But you were saying that there were like several different types of Chihuahuas.
Sharing my truth. That's all. That's all I was doing.
Chris said that Chihuahuas are bitches. Kane.
He's not wrong.
Kane, with more energy than I've seen him have in a long time about an item or a thing, lost his mind on Chihuahua. What did you like went
I said
off.
There's three kinds of Chihuahuas. There's the chill, cool Chihuahua, right? That's very social. Well, you know, hey, want pets, wants to socialize, everything. Then there's the, you know, the pissing themselves one where it's really scared and always under the couch or somewhere where you can't see it. And then there's the one that's really aggressive and mean and hates everybody. It's not social, just always barks, nips at the ankles. You know what I mean? That sort of thing.
I love it.
So those are the three kind of Chihuahuas.
I love it. I love it so much. Yeah, they're kind of, well, there was one there and it had a picture in a shark hoodie. It was adorable. We're going to talk more about this because you guys know I love dogs so much, but super sweet. All right, as we move, and I'll have more on this. So look, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's broke. And most of the companies that you do business with, that you have to do business with, completely do not at all agree with you on anything, nor do they support what you do. In fact, they put a lot of the money that they make off of what you give them, your hard-earned dollars, and make it work against you. Why not just, you know, give a little bit less money to all of these entities out there that want to make your life a living Hades, and they want to support abortion on demand, taxpayer funded, and gun control and all this other stuff? Why not switch to Patriot Mobile? Because they don't do any of that. In fact, their money works for you. They've been such a blessing with all of our school board fights and all of that stuff. And they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You get the best service in your area, but you're not funding the Marxist left. You get free activation with code Dana. They employ and U.S. Workers. These are U.S.-based jobs that you're supporting and helping to create more of and maintaining. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Dirty burglar sounds like a New York punk band with a southern fried rock tinge that only plays at places where they serve catfish. Right? Dirty burglar. It also sounds like a drink. So this is that like dirty burglar breaks into a Florida woman's home and takes a shower. A dirty burglar. This is in Destin, Okaloosa County. They got a call from a Destin homeowner 5:30 in the morning. A man broke into her home through the bedroom door. She hid in the bathroom, called for help. And 27-year-old Harrison Lee was taking a shower inside the master bathroom, which is in a different part of the house from where she was located. She was hiding in a different bathroom. They took him out in a towel. He was arrested. There's a photo showing him being led away in handcuffs wearing just a towel. He's got burglary of an occupied dwelling, criminal mischief. No one was injured, but Dirty Burglar now is forever on our band name list. Who's that? It's Dirty Burglar. It's who it is, you know. Oh, yeah, I love Dirty Burglar.
Such a unique sound.
Yeah, it is a very unique sound. Let's see here. This not gonna do that one at all. That one is nope. Mm-mm. This one, Florida man violated his probation. He made a drunken call to the cops for a ride home. Now at least he didn't drive home.
Right.
You know, but that's about as far as I'm gonna go. Right. He called the police, and it was late. I mean, it was like 1 a.m. Called 911. He said, I'm drunk, need a ride home. They didn't give his name, but he's 39 years old. They did give his age, and he was on 5 years probation. So now he's back in the pokey. So, because he has special conditions, apparently. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Black Rifle Coffee. Veteran owned, veteran run. They hire vets and active duty. And unlike some of the other folks out there, they actually roast their stuff here in the United States. They're dedicated to not only supporting veteran first responder causes, like they get equipment that's needed to first responders, they help them fight diseases, PTSD, all of that, but they serve premium coffee to people who love America. Everything from the roast to the bag art plays homage to American culture and military history. And they have explosive roast profiles, the best in America. You can get ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, whatever you want. You can also get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. And you got, it's the coffee club. You got to be a member of the coffee club. So you pick your favorite roast or roasts. There's more than one. You select your frequency of shipment and have it sent to your front porch with free shipping only at blackriflecoffee.com. Use code Dana and get 20% off your order today. So get it all at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today, get 20% off using code Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com.
We are public servants.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Yeah.
And this president was a public servant for 54 years.
Yeah.
54 years. We're not done yet.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
That's
obviously, he stepped down from running and being the nominee, but he's very much still the president.
Yeah, he's still got the job.
Yeah, he still has the job, and we have a lot more to get done on behalf of the American people. He wants to zero in and focus on that. He's going to be coming back to the White House today. He's going to be giving an address tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Please watch. He wants to talk directly to all of you, to the American people, to talk about what's next. And so I know he's looking forward to doing that, so please tune in.
You don't have to sell it so hard anymore, girl. You're like lame duck now. You don't have to sell it that hard. It's okay. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can check out the simulcast as well. And this, all kinds of good stuff. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse as well. So the, I'm going to pull this up. A few things here. So he's, Biden is speaking tomorrow, supposedly. He's returning to the White House today. Scheduled to speak, if you believe that it'll be live, which I don't, from the White House tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 Eastern. And that is, I mean, again, he says he's going to be talking about his plans and what everybody can expect. It's going to be the first time that he has addressed anybody since he has announced that he's stepping down as president, or for running, sorry, running for president of the United States. And I don't know. I don't want to push for his resignation right now because that means we have her sooner than later. I mean, I don't like him, but I don't also like her. I, you know, and she's, I mean, what struck me is in that audio that we were playing of Corinne Jean-Pierre, she was, how long did she say, like 50 something years? He has been in elected office longer than I've been alive. Yeah. That is not a thing to which you're supposed to make a career. I loathe that. I loathe it. That stuff is supposed to be like a symptom of something else. If you are going to serve, I mean, like in the days of yore, you know, historical Cain, the days of yore, if you were going to serve an elected office, usually it was like, you know, farmers and business owners and people who, you know, accomplished something in the private sector and knew a little bit how the world worked. And then they took some of that expertise to D.C. for a little bit of time. And then they left and went back home to manage their land, their business, etc. Now we have people who are like, I want to grow up and be a representative. You want to grow up and be on welfare. That's what it is. They want to grow up and be on welfare. People who have career positions in the government, they're like glorified welfare queens. They are. Now, I also don't believe in term limits. This is the one thing I actually disagree with DeSantis on. I don't believe in term limits because that is your job. You are the term limit. Your vote is the term limit. I completely agree with the founders in the Federalist Papers and their arguments against term limits, because then you're just allowing the special interest to entirely control your government at that point. And if you have not read the Federalist Papers and you think that you have an opinion on term limits, I would highly encourage you to read the Federalist Papers first and then come to a position on term limits. Now, that being said, I think that the smart ones know when to leave. And I do think that some of the ones who are still in there are some of the smart ones, but they're staying in there because they're like, my gosh, if I leave, this sucker's still here. And I get that. But that comes down to the responsibility of the voter. Like, Nancy, how long has Pelosi been? Longer than Biden, probably. She's like 1,100 years old, right? Yeah, like she's an ancient figure. I think her visage is carved onto some of the ziggurats down there in South America. I'm positive. So my point is that he's been in office for forever. What does he have to show for it? Nothing. Nothing. He has nothing to show for it. Nothing. He has nothing to show for it. In fact, Politico has a piece out, Pearl Lorraine. The feds discovered, they discovered the transcripts of Biden chats with the biographer. Huh. The Justice Department relented. They contacted former special counsel Robert Hur to respond to records requests because now it's safe. They don't have to worry about covering Biden's ass anymore. So they can be like, yeah, go ahead and release the transcripts. It's okay. You know, the transcripts of his questioning with her, Robert Hur, and how he came to the decision that Biden was too feeble and not all the way there to actually go to court. And so, I mean, that's the only reason why he never went to court for the classified document. He didn't go to court because he was too old and feeble to go to court. So people are like, Trump's a felon. Well, that's going to get overturned, number one. But number two, Biden is a felon, too. But he just didn't get to go to court because he was literally deemed to be too old and feeble, but not old and feeble enough to be the leader of the United States. And that's why everybody turned on her, because her actually wrote that in his findings. So I don't want to hear it. But now they're like, OK, go ahead and release this. We don't have to cover Biden's backside anymore. Go ahead and release it. It's OK.
I have a question. All right. Yeah. Do you think we'll ever get the audio? Remember the audio of that, her interview? They've been keeping that from the public because of how bad it was.
I think we will. I think they're going to do that now, because now these are the chats that he had with this biographer, which they said that they didn't want. But now they said, so in the Politico piece, it says it's unclear whether it's going to affect the release of really ultimately the audio, because Biden had asserted executive privilege over that, over the audio of it. So, but this is one of the things that they were keeping from being released. So, but I don't know. They said that the recordings, so what they're going to be releasing, this was a Freedom of Information case, and they're looking at the audio files containing Biden's interview with writer Mark Zwanitzer. They're 70 hours, and they said that they were reviewing them for potential classified material. And that's what they were. So this is like a separate thing. So now the DOJ is telling her, yeah, go ahead, respond to the records request. So we may, but I don't know how Biden's executive privilege factors into that, because remember, he was claiming that he was trying to claim executive privilege over the audio. He was asserting that over the audio recordings. Now, that was just to stop. That's when Congress held Garland in contempt of court for refusing to release the recording. So I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But telling you what, all kinds of fascinating stuff here. Now, there is a proof of life. RNC Research has they ask proof of life. Biden shuffles out of motorcade, mumbles incoherently to reporters, and then he ascends the stairs of the smaller Air Force One. It's his first public appearance since he was, forced off the ballot, which is true. That's what they're saying here. He doesn't look good. He's got a face mask in his hand. That he doesn't, they love face masks. These are the people that are really mad over the Trump Band-Aid, by the way. But they have no qualms at all whatsoever. By the way, J.D. Vance made this point as Juan gets that ready. Audio soundbite 20. This is J.D. Vance remarking on the very same thing I just said. Listen.
I won't, though. I do find it hysterical, Jesse. You have these people who are like, why is the president wearing an ear bandage? He got shot in the ear. And these are the same people who are wearing masks, right, 5 years after COVID. So it's pretty ridiculous.
True. But the video of Biden, he got mumbled, and he's like walking. It's real windy. He's walking and really, really holding onto the rail. He's walking up the stairs to the smaller Air Force One. And this is the first time anybody has seen him since he announced this whole thing. Juan's got it. This is brand new video. first time
you dropped out of the race,
Biden.
Sir.
You can go ahead and play some of that. It's just them yelling.
Can Harris beat Trump?
Can Harris beat Trump, Mr. President?
He doesn't look great. He doesn't look great, right?
I mean, for a Biden body double, he looks pretty good.
And then he stands at the top. He's got his face mask. He's got, remember, he's holding the face mask like a physical reminder. Gets out of the thing. He's got his face mask in hand the whole time. This is so stupid. You know he doesn't put that on his face at all. Look at it. It's too straight. You can tell it's not even been on his face because it's not bent and the folds aren't splayed.
Fresh out of the pack.
Fresh out of the pack. He has not, he had not even had it on his face. But he has it in his hand to remind everybody, oh, look, they gave me this to be like, I've got COVID. I got fake COVID.
And just for clarity, that mask will do nothing.
Yeah, no, we know the mask doesn't do anything. It's a prop. It's a prop. It's nothing more than a prop. That face mask is a straight up prop. He's not even, he didn't even, I'm like zoomed in on it. He's not, it just not, hadn't even been on his face. It hasn't even been on his face. It's a face mask prop that has not even been worn. Now, we don't believe that they actually work, but those are their rules, right? I mean, heaven forbid you wear a bandage on your ear after you were shot in it. But, you know, with this, I tell you what. Going to be speaking tomorrow. And the polling, we're going over some of the polling. If I were a Democrat, we talked about this yesterday, I would feel swindled. And USA Today, after we talked about this at length yesterday, they've got a piece out. Listen to this. Conservatives told the truth about Biden. Democrats failed to listen is the actual headline. What? This may be, Kane, the only accidentally, you can tell it's a rage-fueled piece. And they say Joe Biden should have made this announcement last year ahead of his party's primaries when Democrat voters could have had a say about who they wanted to run against Trump. Well, they took that from you, Democrat voters. And if they would take that from you, how much more would they take from you? Think about that. They don't care that you didn't actually get to cast a vote on who the party nominee is. See, that's not what you're wanted for. You don't get to pick who runs. They just demand that you vote for the person they pick to run, right? That's all it comes down to. I mean, I don't believe, do you honestly believe, people said there were, like, I've seen different members of the commentary go, well, there were warning signs, but the country didn't really know how bad off Biden was until the debate. Do you think that's true? I think it just became undeniable. After the debate. But I don't believe that people didn't think it was that bad. I think that just removed any excuse that Democrats had at that point, right? Yep. That's how I kind of look at it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, Wall Street Journal is saying a stock market rotation of historic proportions is on the way. Buy gold. Go to goldco.com/Dana. The investors, they say, saw the shift coming and people are puzzled by what's behind it. Seriously, if your investor is, or the people that you're working with for your portfolio are shocked by what's behind the stock market change, then you need new people. Oh my gosh. Europe is turning to conscription. I feel like this is just War Inc. Honestly, this is a War Inc. piece, but they're saying that, oh goodness, you know, there's several European nations that are looking to conscription as a way to push back against, Putin's goal of recreating the Soviet Empire. I think that is some serious War Inc. stuff. No, I'm not buying it at all, by the way, not at all. Moving on, a federal judge delays the posting of the Ten Commandments in Louisiana public schools. This comes by the way, The Guardian. Let me pull this story up. It's a Guardian piece. They're saying the judge pushed the enactment of the law to display the religious code until November. They have a lawsuit ongoing right now. There was a brief ruling on Friday. District court judge said that the parents in the state agreed that they don't have to be posted in any public school classroom before the 15th of November. And the state's Republican governor, Jeff Landry, had signed this into law last month, a bill that requires them to have the Ten Commandment posters with large, easily readable font. and then a context statement about how it's a prominent part of American public education for 3 centuries. Not even public education, it's like the basis of law. And there are a lot of laws that are around this. I mean, every law, really, and not just in the U.S. Either. So this is in Toronto. So they're saying that some municipalities in Canada, including Toronto, are using goats to help manage invasive species. The goat grazing, I can't believe this is a sentence. Here it is. The city is using prescribed goat grazing, a new and unique approach to managing invasive plant species and to help restore habitats surrounding the wetlands. Farmers everywhere are going, what the hell did you just say? Is that not some like city slicker stuff right there? Can you believe goats eat grasses, including invasive species that can help protect native grasses and plants? Wow, who would have thought it? Let's tell the farmers about goats. They've never heard of this. There was a food truck that exploded in Whittier, KTLA. 5 people were injured. Two are in critical. 3 were hurt. Food truck exploded Saturday morning. I have always wondered, like, especially if it's doing like barbecue and stuff like that, some of the food trucks out there and they got a lot of heat on them. I've always wondered, like, how are you keeping safe? I don't want to see new regulations because I want to, you know, the people obviously want to maintain safe, you know, because they're on it. But 5 people were injured. They said they don't have a lot of details that were released. I don't even know what kind of food truck it is. They said the investigation's in prelim stages. Stay with us. A lot more in store. Congressman Jim Jordan up next.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No one told you not to take the stage?
No, nobody mentioned it. Nobody said there was a problem. And I would have waited for 15. They could have said, let's wait for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, something. Nobody said, I think that was a mistake. How did somebody get on that roof? And why wasn't he reported? Because people saw that he was on the roof. I mean, you had Trumpers screaming. A woman in the red shirt, she was screaming, there's a man on the roof. And then other people said, there's a man on the roof who's got a gun. And that was quite a bit before I walked onto the stage. So several, you would have thought before, somebody would have done something.
I mean, several minutes before, you had people who were just bystanders who saw this guy in dark colored clothing on the top of a white roof that a cow apparently was able to get up on. But apparently, you know, the former director now of Secret Service, Cheadle, was saying, oh, it was too sloped for our guys. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Obviously, that was the president and the Republican nominee for president, J.D. Vance, speaking with my friend Jesse Waters. Joining us right now, Congressman Jim Jordan out of the beautiful state of Ohio. He is chair of the Judiciary Committee. And he had asked the now former director, she resigned today, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you. The heat was really turned up on her. You were asking her about the request for additional security made on behalf of the former president. Was it denied? Her answer, she couldn't give you a straight answer, Congressman.
Yeah, but we know it was denied because they changed their story. Remember, the day after, 2 days after President Trump, the assassination attempt on President Trump, the Secret Service spokesperson says it's absolutely false that we rebuffed any request by President Trump's detail for additional help. The very next day, Secretary Mayorkas said it's unequivocally false that we did not give them the help they asked for. And then 5 days later, they said, oh, wait a minute. There were occasions where we turned down the request from President Trump's detail. Both of those statements can't be right. So they've already misinformed, lied to the American people. So my big concern is I think there were problems before, during, and after. The before, why was he allowed to take the stage? Why was there's a limited number of buildings that needed to be secure? Why weren't they secure? Why was he denied requests for the request for help? Why was President Trump's detail denied those resources? The during, 6:09, they identified the bad guy on the roof. 6:10, the good guys are notified about the bad guy, the counter snipers. 6:11, the bad guy shoots President Trump and 3 other people. 6:12, the counter snipers take out the bad guy. 6:14, President Trump has exited off the stage. Those critical 5 minutes, we need to get a play-by-play, second-by-second, what happened in those 5 minutes. Not to mention what happened 20 minutes before when they first see this guy going up on the roof. And then, of course, there's the after that I just talked about. The fact that you told us one thing in the 2 days after the attack, And then 5 days later, changed 180 degrees and said, admitted to the fact you had denied President Trump the resources his detail asked for. Those are the big things I think have to be figured out so that this kind of thing doesn't happen in the future.
And to that point, apparently you mentioned the 20 some odd minutes beforehand where at least one person, a part of the security detail, saw this guy, took a picture and then sent it up some kind of chain of command. And we never found out where that photo, who got that photo, what was done about it, where did it go?
Yeah, and hopefully tomorrow, we have Director Wray in front of our committee tomorrow. Hopefully he will be able to answer these questions. Remember yesterday, Director Cheadle, former Director Cheadle, I should say, she wouldn't really answer much of anything. And when she did answer stuff, you didn't know whether to believe her in light of the fact that they changed her story about President Trump the resources he asked for. So, but she did say several times, the FBI is doing an investigation. These two questions are directed, should be directed to the FBI. Well, tomorrow we're going to get a chance. And hopefully Director Wray will answer some of the questions, hopefully all the questions we have, but certainly some of the ones that former Director Cheadle refused to answer yesterday.
Talking with Congressman Jim Jordan via Skype, if you're listening to the program or if you're watching the simulcast. One of the things that really struck me, Congressman, was when she was asked about the rooftop and whether or not, as you just mentioned, whether it was secured. And apparently it came out that, well, it was very hot up there. And that's why, you know, you had some of the members that, you know, apparently they were scheduled to be posted to that rooftop and then they decided to go inside. There was some security that was supposed to be walking around, checking the perimeter, just keeping an eye on things. They went into the air-conditioned building. I mean, you're protecting the former and potential next president of the United States. I think your training has included a little bit of heat drills, you know, and doing some time out in the sun.
Former president, likely future president, maybe the most well-known person on the planet. And oh, by the way, Iran had said they're trying to assassinate him. One of the questions I asked her that was frustrating for me was, I said, did any of these requests from President Trump's detail, were any of them denied after you knew about Iran's pursuit of President Trump and they're trying to kill him? Did any of that happen after that? And she wouldn't answer that question. But to me, that's a big point. If you know Iran is an enemy of ours, a foreign power trying to kill the likely next president of the United States, if you know that and he asked for additional help and you deny it, even knowing that, that makes it even worse. So I think there's just a host of things that make no sense. It's why we got to learn. We got to get all the questions to the before, the during, and the after. I think we got to get answers to all the questions that exist.
How much of this is due to, from what I understand, the management of Secret Service being under the jurisdiction of DHS? Has that created some of these problems in your estimation that has led to like this muddling of chain of command and all that?
It may have. What I do know is Secretary Mayorkas has been a complete failure. I think any objective American with common sense would say the same thing. I mean, you know, we just look at the border for goodness sake. So I think that could be the case. And remember, he's the one who said on July 15th, unequivocally false, that we did not give President Trump's detail what they asked for. And then again, a few days later, the Secret Service says, well, actually, number of times they asked for things and we turned them down. So this is the head of the agency. This is Cheadle's boss. So, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of confidence in this guy either. Frankly, there's not a whole lot of confidence in the Biden administration. Let's just be honest. Yeah. Tell me what they've done right. So that's a problem. And it's why I think on November 5th, President Trump's going to be elected our next president.
I think so. And I mean, at least I look at the alternative here, folks. I mean, it's pretty scary out there. And I hope that you're correct, because I don't think we could, my opinion, I don't think we could weather 4 years, four more years of him not being. This is what makes me nervous, because he's November's not here. We still have 100 some odd days until that time. And a lot, as you know, Congressman, can happen there.
Yeah,
I'm a little nervous about the fact that the Secret Service has failed so abysmally. And the guy in charge is a failure, incompetent, shouldn't be in that position. Cheadle at least had the wherewithal to resign, either by her choice or by pressure. But until that time, how can Americans be sure that not just the president of the United States, but also potentially the next president of the United States are going to be safe until November?
No, that's the fundamental question. Are they really going to be safe?
I don't have confidence in it.
Are they getting the kind of protection that they deserve? President Biden, the Vice President Harris, I think she said yesterday, Director Cheadle's former Director Cheadle said 36 individuals who have a detail assigned to them and are being protected. Are they really being protected? And you got to wonder. And again, this is not to criticize the agents right there on the ground who jumped on the stage and protected President Trump and then escorted him off the stage. But there's certainly concerns at the top. I think it depends on the answers we get to these key questions we've been talking about. And frankly, who the next person is. Who do they put in there next? Who does President Biden put in as the next director of the Secret Service? And are they going to be able to handle this in the way it needs to be handled? So we'll just have to wait and see. But our job right now is to get the answers to these fundamental questions.
Is it true that there, because I've seen a lot of rumors, and you would know best about this, that some there's a lot of discussion about the lack of manpower for Secret Service, and that some of what we're going to be on Trump's detail was pulled for an event that Jill Biden was part of not far away. Is there any truth to that?
We've heard from a whistleblower to our committee, some of the staff on our committee, that there was resources that had to be devoted to NATO and to the First Lady's travel. Look, we want people at NATO protected who are here with the NATO event. We want the First Lady protected, certainly, but we want everyone protected. So we need to get an answer to that question, too. But that's what an individual has told our committee, Republican staff on our committee.
I mean, it's and we don't know, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, we still don't know whether or not, my understanding is that this killer, if he stashed the rifle there beforehand, I mean, apparently, obviously, he was there scoping it out, because Cheadle didn't answer that, at least that I heard when I was watching live her testimony. Yeah. No answers to that?
No, I mean, she didn't answer much of anything.
Yeah, true.
To be honest. But yeah, we need to know how many shots, how many shell casings were there? Where was the weapon? These other devices that were supposedly at his car, other things he was doing, the drone, there's been talk about a drone. We need to know that.
Yeah.
If all that happened, and frankly, when it happened, what happened, when it happened, anyone see it? Why didn't you see it? I mean, there's all the who, what, when, where's, and why's, or how you do investigations. You got to ask those fundamental questions. And the speaker's indicated he's going to put a task force together that's going to dig into all this, and so we'll go from there. But what we do know is tomorrow we're going to get asked some of these questions to Director Ray.
And I know that I can't wait. I'm actually going to record that so I can watch anything that I've missed live, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan. Last thing that you made me think of, because you touched on the drone, airspace is shut down. Whenever you have someone who's protected by Secret Service like that, the former president running to be president, they shut down. I've been to so many events. Airspace is shut down. You can't fly a drone over an event like that where they are in control of it. That seems to me that is a whole other layer of absolute catastrophe, knowing that this dude had a drone in restricted airspace. I mean, I even know this, and I'm not a member of Secret Service or security.
Again, why were certain things allowed to happen before this event? Because my understanding is the drone was flown prior to the event, actually. So what time?
Because they lock it down a couple hours in advance.
Right. So how recently was that drone actually flown over the premises where the president was going to be? All these are, I think, fundamental questions that the American people have a right to get answers to. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get those answers. To me, though, this fundamental question of the president asked for, his detail asked for, this is again, arguably the most well-known person on the planet, one of the most important people on the planet, former president, likely next president, and he asked for additional resources to protect himself. His team did, his security detail, and he was denied that. And if those denials happened after you had learned about what Iran's trying to do to him, that makes no sense to anybody. Sense at all to anybody.
And not to interrupt you, but also what the left has been doing with the Supreme Court justices. I know that you and Congressman Daryl Issa have raised concerns. You actually were tweeting out the House Judiciary, which you're on chair of, the memo about how the security, we need to look at security of our justices following this attempted assassination of former President Trump, because they've been dealing with increased security threats for over a year now.
Yeah. So again, let's get the answers.
I know.
Let's hope we can. I mean,
you certainly have your job cut out for you, Congressman. I don't envy you.
Yeah. It's our job to do oversight. It's part of our constitutional responsibilities. We're going to do it as best we can. And we're going to try to get the answers for the American people.
All right. That's exactly right. If not now, then when? And if not you, then who? There you go. Congressman Jim Jordan, appreciate what you do and your fight for transparency. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't know if you all heard this story. This elderly Trump supporter is in critical condition after a politically motivated attack, per police. It happened in Hancock, Michigan, where a man who has not been identified was putting up a yard sign, a Trump sign, about 5:45 p.m. when a suspect driving an ATV drove into his yard and ran him over with the vehicle. And then he began to pull out the yard signs. And when the victim tried to put them back in the ground, the driver ran him over. The victim was taken to the hospital with serious injuries, per Daily Wire, including brain bleed, and is still in critical condition. According to, and this is Channel 6 TV, Upper Michigan source, is that he was an 80-year-old man. They did identify the guy. They got him on video. They identified him. No further details, though, have been released about it, but they did, the police say they did ID him. But he was an 80-year-old man that the guy ran over with his ATV. And I mean, that's just, it's real, man. The Trump derangement syndrome, I think, is real. But they said that it is the third incident. This is what, the third incident that police believe to be politically motivated that occurred on Sunday alone. And the first two involved vehicles that were vandalized. And apparently the suspect in those cases were targeting apparently both Trump and law enforcement supporters. And then they said they had vandalism to other vehicles where the windows were smashed out. And that looked to be politically motivated as well. And the 80-year-old, I mean, had brain bleed, I guess, is still in critical condition. And the Hancock police chief, Tammy Sleeman, said that his injuries are, I mean, they could be fatal. I mean, they said they don't know what's going to happen right now. So that's so they identify the guy, which means they're going to have him in custody soon. That's crazy, though. Driving your ATV and then you see somebody putting in Trump signs and you go and run them over and then you attack them. That's just, good heavens. Good heavens. I mean, I don't know. That's just how sick this world is. Now, we will obviously make sure you go sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff that comes out there. And tomorrow, Biden's going to be speaking, so we shall see. Kang, today in stupidity.
All right. The Democrats are desperate for you to just at least think that there's some coordination of putting Kamala in place of Biden. And this was kind of dumb. She almost let the cat out of the bag. Cut three. This is Kamala Harris.
It is so good to hear our president's voice. Joe, I know you're still on the call.
Ooh, on the recording.
And we've been talking every day.
You're still on the recording there, Joe? But apparently there's proof of life. We saw him walk out of a limo and walk to a plane. And then we saw him walk from that plane to a limo at his destination. So it's clearly alive.
Yeah. There you go. Kane. All right, folks, that does it for today. I hope you all have a great night. And make sure, Substack, find us Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow with dog pics.